did not place that list. The great men and women that we read of in Hebrews 11, they did not place themselves there. It was inspiration that placed them there. The Almighty God inspired his writer to tabulate, put together these, some of the acts of these great men and women. And yet, of course, naturally, John the Baptist's name is not there. And it is understood why his name is not there, because the tabulation is a New Testament inspirational thing. It was a New Testament writer that wrote Hebrew, the book of Hebrew. And they were listing some of the Old Testament characters who served God faithfully. So naturally, John the Baptist's name would not be mentioned there. But strikingly, all the great men and women listed there in Hebrews chapter 11, John is as great or greater than they were, because they were not in the kingdom. And the question was posed to me, just in passing, that, well, are these men and women, great as they were, are they saved? And it is a legitimate question. It's a good question. Because, like when Jesus Christ said, of they that are born of woman, none is greater than John. However, those who are in the kingdom is greater than John. So, the question that is asked, you know, of course, I pointed out, great character like Abraham, who was credited to be called the friend of God, a mere, as Brother Smith used to say, dusty-eyed man, to be given that honor, to be called God's friend. David was credited in being called a man after God's own heart. And from the mouth of Jesus Christ, John was greater than David, greater than Abraham. It is fascinating. I pointed out in the lesson that John's greatness comes because of his association with Christ. That's where his greatness comes from. So, these Old Testament characters who were not in the kingdom, are they saved? This was the question. And as I've said, it's a good and legitimate question. Yes, they are saved. I want to take a few minutes to point out in what way and how they were saved, why God considered them saved men and women. We're going to look at a few passages. Let us start with Hebrews chapter 9, verse 8 through verse 9.
The Holy Ghost This
Hebrews 9, 8 and 9.
Hebrews chapter 9 from verse 8. The Holy Ghost, this signifying. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing.
Read.
Which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the sacrifice perfect, as pertaining to the conscience.
Now, first, you're learning here that the people who offer the gifts and the sacrifice, and that include both those who actually gave it. In fact, the people who gave the sacrifice, it was given, the animal sacrifice was given for their sin. The passage tells you that it didn't make them perfect. And you need to get that they were still sinful in God's sight. That was Hebrews chapter 9, verse 8 and 9.
Yes.
Let us hear verse 12 also of the same chapter.
Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered into once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us.
Listen again. Neither by the blood of
goats and calves, but
the writer leave that statement sort of incomplete. Neither by the blood of goat and calf. Really, what it is saying, the blood of goat and calf did not achieve for them what they wanted. And the following statement point out that it is Jesus Christ who accomplished what they needed accomplished.
Amen.
That is Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. Now, verse 22, Sata leave us doubtless in respect to what is being said. Let us hear verse 22.
And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission.
Okay, so we get this. Without the shedding of blood, there is no removal of sin. That is just a straightforward statement. No if, no but, no condition. Without the shedding of blood, there is no removal of sin. Watch here now, how wonderful God's word, God's revelation is. So we have that in chapter 9, verse 22. When the writer wrote the book of Hebrew, there was no chapter and verse. It was one long letter. So the writer continues to write. He has just made a statement that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Then look, let us know, it's like we are reading the one letter, we don't stop. Read verse 1 and 2 of chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 1.
For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comer thereunto perfect.
Wait, stop there. That's verse 1. That is verse 1. You're going to step down to verse 4. Verse 1 says that the comer, that is those who brought these animals sacrifice, year by year, it could never make them perfect. So all the animal sacrifice that they brought to the priest or that they offered, it did not deal with their sin in any complete way. Verse 4.
For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats shall take away sins.
Turn it around. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and of goats to remove sin. That's what that verse is saying. Verse 4. So notice what we have. Forgiveness of sin called for
shedding of blood.
It is not animal blood. Huh? That's right. We learned that. Blood is necessary to remove sin. Animal blood cannot do it. So whatever animal that was offered under the Old Testament system, whatever, sheep, cow, their blood didn't have what it takes to deal with our sin.
Amen.
And in Hebrews chapter 9, we have already been told that it was the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That did it. So, with this truth now, let us turn. Well, let me explain a little further before we turn to Romans chapter 3. I use this all the time because I find it an appropriate illustration. Whenever you are indebted to a person and you have no collateral, you have no security for the person to hold, one of the things that is done is the person can ask for a promissory note. You know, when you have collateral, real estate, jewelry, or any value, the person can hold on to that until you come with the cash or whatever. But when you have no collateral, what, you know? We didn't have any collateral at all. That's right. When it comes to our sin, the Old Testament character had no collateral. They had nothing of value to say, God, hold on to this until etc. come. In fact, they were not even aware the way they are to of Jesus Christ, his perfect sinless life, and his precious blood. You and I know the blood of Christ. But they didn't. But you know what? Watch him. The Almighty God No, I've forgotten what I'm about to say. No, watch here. I've told you here already about the king who made, in his kingdom there was the law that was it whoever is caught stealing or whoever commit adultery should lose his two arms or his two eyes, something like that. That was the law in that country. And then his son that he loved dearly was found guilty. I believe it was his two eyes. You know what the king did? Instead of casting his son, the law called for two eyes. instead of the son giving his two eyes and end up being blind, the king gave one of his eyes and the son one of his. That is to meet the demand of the law. When the Almighty God, what God did in respect to the sin under the Old Testament system, the Almighty God, in his wisdom, decided to provide a promissory note for the godly, faithful men and women under the Old Testament. It was left up to them now to accept God's promissory note. When the Almighty God asked them to bring your sheep, your young bull, your turtle dove, they should have responded to that willingly, and they did. The Almighty God held that as a promissory note. It shows that if there was something better to deal with their sin, they would have submitted to it. The promissory note of the animal sacrifice and all of that. Because that could not deal with sin. What that does, the animal sacrifice, prepared by God, given to the Israelites, it sought to appease God's justice. Not indefinitely. It appeased God's justice. The same way you owe your $100,000. And you know that I have no collateral. You say, okay, Brother Mitchell, write me a promissory note and sign it. You hold that promissory note and you walk away feeling satisfied. Because you know one day if you get the cash, you will pay me. When the Almighty God accepted the animal sacrifice as a promissory note from the Old Testament character. So watch here. Watch here. Well, it's right there already. When the blood promissory note. Let me put it behind here. When the blood of Jesus Christ came, it worked as if it were retroactive. It is as if it were went back for God. It's not that it went back. Because for God there is no before and after. God lives in one eternal present. But speaking from the human perspective, it is as if the promissory note, the blood of Christ went back and redeem these promissory notes. That is, whatever the promissory note stands for, it stands for the sin of these character. The blood of Jesus Christ took care of that. That's right. Listen to the Bible now. Listen Romans chapter 3. Verse 24 and 25. Let us hear it. Romans chapter 3.
Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus.
I want you to listen. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Whom God had set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood.
Watch here, don't move because you're going to go to 26. Whom God set forth to be the propitiation. The word propitiation means the mercy seat. Amen. That's right. Jesus' blood is the center where God really shows mercy.
Amen.
A propitiation in his?
In his blood.
Blood. Read on.
To declare his righteousness.
Watch here now. Wait. Brother Mitchell, you always mess up the blackboard, the whiteboard like that. Okay? Let me clear it off. Whom God set forth to be the propitiation, that is the mercy seat. For what?
Through faith in his blood.
Uh-huh.
To declare his righteousness for the remission of sins.
Watch here now. Wait. I'm underlining his, to declare his righteousness.
Amen.
For what?
For the remission of sins that are past.
Wait. That's not the word that is used in Acts chapter 2, remission. It's a two different word. The word used here for remission, I believe if my memory serves me right, it's pretermission, which means temporary suspension. That's right. The word that is used in Romans chapter 3, verse 25.
Verse 25.
It's not the word that is used in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Repent and be baptized for the removal of your sin. The word that is used here for the I'm going to put some abbreviation for the temporary suspension of sin. That is sin that, I wonder if I have them. Sin that God did just put aside. They were not really dealt with yet. That's what the word that is used here means. And if you want, you sometime in the week, you can go and look in the book of Romans chapter 3, verse 25. The word that is used here for remission is talking about where God sustained temporarily, put aside the sin that was brought to God at the altar. But the altar of the Old Testament could not deal with them. The holiness of God and the justice of God accepted the animal sacrifice because God knew that Jesus Christ is coming. So it was when Jesus Christ came. Read verse 25 again and listen carefully.
Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past.
Wait. The remission, the temporary suspension of sin that are
past.
You see how me write past big? Paul said, see how large a letter I write unto you. See, the Paul had a bad sight. So when he wrote, his letters were long, like they were big, like Brother Mitchell. They are sin that are past. The passage is dealing with sin that are past.
Amen.
That's what it is dealing with. That Jesus, the Almighty God, shows that the way he dealt with sin of the past, he was still a righteous God. But do you know when the heavenly host and all the intelligent being realized really that God was righteous? When Jesus Christ's blood was shed and deal with these sins which had been brought to God.
Amen.
Because they know, the holy angel knew, that men sin and they continue to live. Men sin and they continue to live. They sin, they brought their animal sacrifice. The holy angel knew that sin could not be dealt with like that. It was when Jesus Christ died and his blood, I use the word retroactive conveniently, his blood was made retroactive to deal with these sins. The angel realized that God is in fact righteous because they knew that sin could not be dealt with just any and any old way. There's no bandulu way to deal with sin from God's point of view. Sin had to be dealt with by a righteous, holy person, Jesus Christ. So in the death of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, resurrection, the Almighty God was, among other things, in dealing with these sins that were temporary, suspended, put aside.
Amen.
And in the same time, declaring that he is a righteous God. Read it again, brother. Read it again.
Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation.
To be the mercy seat.
Amen.
To be the one in whom God really showed mercy. Read.
Through faith in his blood. To declare his righteousness. For the remission of sins that are past.
To declare, one translation says, at this time. To declare that he is righteous.
Amen.
In the way he dealt with sin of the past.
Amen.
It's talking about these sins. Where he accepted these Old Testament character. Remember, not all of them, you know, but all those who submitted to the will of God under the Old Testament system.
Yeah.
All of them. In Jesus Christ, the Almighty God demonstrated that he is righteous. That he cannot come up with just any old way. I wish I had some time, but I don't have the time now. You see, when men and women reject baptism and when denomination reject God's plan, because God's plan, you know, is in keeping with God's nature. When the Almighty God asks men to repent and get baptized, it's not that God impulsively get up one morning out of bed and say, you know what, I'm going to let them do this. No! Every step of salvation is in keeping with the holy, righteous, just nature of the Almighty God. That's why men and women can't finger with them and get away with God. And you and I need to take that message out there. Yes, to declare his righteousness. How? In Christ. For what sin? Those sins that were temporary. Suspended. Just a minute. Let me see how the amplified. There are a few more passages. I want to just see how the amplified word. Romans chapter 3, verse 25. Whom God put forward before the eyes of all, as a mercy seat and propitiation by his blood, the cleansing and the life-giving sacrifice of atonement and reconciliation to be received through faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over and ignored former sin without punishment. That's exactly what I'm saying to you, that it's the way God dealt with sin in the past that probably have the righteous angel who serve around God's throne wondering where I'm. Sin can't be dealt with like that. Well, after thousands of years, the Almighty God said to them, you are right. Sin could not be dealt with animal blood. What I did was a temporary measure to show mercy. Their sin was still there waiting for the real price. No doubt the Bible says, angel, peep into God's plan of salvation. What a great God. Yes, in Christ, death, burial, and resurrection, not only was redemption secure for us, the Almighty God shows to the entire universe that he is righteous. But let us look, you had read verse 26.
To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness.
When?
At this time.
When?
At this time.
That's right. All these hunting thousands and millions of years that the universe has been in existence, it is now, and at this time is referring to Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. To declare what?
His righteousness.
To declare that he is a righteous God. And all of that has to do with the sin of those Old Testament character who came to God with their sins through the animal sacrifice. Okay? Let us back up that with Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14.
For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified.
By one sacrifice, Jesus Christ brought about perfection, sinlessness for them. That is all those who were set aside, sanctified. That was 10:14. Let us hear 11:37. Through 38, I think, or 39. Read.
37. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder.
Mm-hmm.
Were tempted.
Mm-hmm.
Were slain with the sword.
Mm-hmm.
They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins.
Mm-hmm.
Being destitute, afflicted, tormented.
Mm-hmm.
Of whom the world was not worthy.
Remember what the brothers read, you know, it's talk about these Old Testament character who at the time they brought their animal sacrifice according to God's command, according to the Old Testament sacrificial system. As I've said, God provided that as a promissory note from them. Notice the Bible is highlighting their commitment to God. But they were never made perfect under that system. There was nothing there to make them perfect. But God extended his mercy because they met God's temporary measure to put their sin aside. Read on, brother.
They wandered in deserts and in mountains,
mm-hmm,
and in dens and caves of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And these all, having obtained a good report,
mm-hmm,
through faith, received not the promise.
Take time with me there. They receive a good report.
Amen.
Their obedience and the animal sacrifice comprise their good report. But it said something else there.
Receive not the promise.
That's right. The promise of forgiveness, cleansing, righteousness. They did not receive that perfection. Receive not the promise. Why? God, read.
God having provided some better thing for us. That they without us should not be made perfect.
You hear that? They were made perfect. They were cleansed at the same time we are cleansed. The business here we talk about, that they without us, the us here refer to all of us under the New Testament system, under Christ, who came after Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. When we come and get baptized, God doesn't put our sin on suspension or put it where our sins are removed. The blood of Jesus Christ carries that power. Their sin had to wait. That's why it used the word pretermission, the Greek word pretermission, which means temporary suspension. And that's why it used the term here that they without us should not be made
perfect.
Perfect.
Yes.
That is the very same time you and I get cleansing. Total, ultimate cleansing from sin is the same time they got it. And by the same person, the blood of Jesus Christ. It is on that account they were saved. The Old Testament character who served God faithfully were saved on the basis that they submitted, watch here now, in faith and obedience to the system that God gave them then. God knew that that system only served a temporary purpose. And as I've often said from this pulpit, no sin for anyone, anywhere, at any time was ever completely removed or forgiven until Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. So yes, those who submitted to God's will then, I repeat, those who submitted to God's will under the Old Testament system, they were good as saved, good as being cleansed, because the promissory note provided by God in the animal sacrifice, when Jesus Christ came, died, buried, and resurrected, his blood dealt once and for all with their sin. But they still were not in the kingdom. We are. Thank you.
Please stand as we sing. Psalm number 369. More about Jesus would I know, more of his grace.